With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Let's spend a few minutes right now with the former NFL quarterback with the Steelers. That's Charlie Batch. As we got to delve into the mess with the Steelers right now, as these next two games, you got to find a way to win one of them up against the Pats this upcoming Sunday and then the Saints the following Sunday, as there's a lot of drama with the Steelers, which is nothing new, but usually they're able to get past this drama and still make the postseason, and now that's up in question. Charlie, always great to talk to you. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Well, I'm doing great, and I appreciate you coming on. So let's first start things off with Big Ben, Tomlin, and what happened in Oakland. Was it the x-ray machine or was it something else? What's going on there?
Well, when you hear the explanation, it was the x-ray machine. But just going through it personally, I've broken ribs before. And I get to that point where, you know, it's kind of tough because you have to wait for the pain medication to kick in. And once that kicks in, it's one of those things where, okay, now you're ready to play. And I just think it was a combination of the x-ray machine and then everything else.
How would you describe the year for Big Ben? Because before the year, we hear the retirement talk and how much longer he wants to play. Then they draft Mason Rudolph. You also have the Le'Veon Bell situation. And then once they drafted Rudolph, the whole stance on retiring seemed to change. Just you knowing Ben and you knowing what he's about, just how do you view this situation still covering the team and getting a chance to be around them?
Yeah, I think, you know, obviously the, you know, whenever Ben is talking about retirement talks, of course that, you know, people are going to talk about that. But I think this is something where, you know, just looking at it, 15 years of career, you know that window is closing on you fast. I fully expect Ben to play another three, maybe four more years if that's what he wants to do. But I think it all depends if they can keep that offensive line together. If they do that, I think they're fine. But when you look to see where they're at, you know, Ben is just, you know, he's a guy that, you know, wants to win championships. He's all about that. He won them at a young age. And then we just celebrated the Super Bowl 43 team a couple weeks ago against the Chargers. And when you look at that team, you're like, wow, there's only one person still playing. And that's Ben. So, you know, he wants to get back because that was 10 years ago. And of course, the one that still keeps the fire lit underneath him is the Super Bowl that he lost to Aaron Rodgers in Super Bowl 45 against the Packers. So, you know, he's trying to get back there, and he's hoping he gets that opportunity.
This was a team that won six in a row, and that 6-1, it was a tough one. They just were able to pull out with the Big Ben play late after Connor had the drop, and they just beat the Jaguars. And at the time, I said, hey, the Steelers, you know, fortunate to win that game, but they're going to continue to go on a little bit of a run here, just the way that they were playing. We know that's not the case now, losing three in a row. The ugly showing to the Broncos, going up big against the Chargers, then losing, and then the debacle last week. Just what do you make of the last 3 weeks? And now with the Ravens in play after the success of Lamar Jackson and the Browns creeping back into the picture, how concerned are you with the schedule lying ahead that maybe the Steelers don't make the postseason this year?
Yeah, even coming into the season, you knew this was going to be a rush stretch for the guys. But, you know, it was amazing 3 weeks ago. We're talking about the Steelers as the number two seed, potential bye, maybe outside chance of the number one seed. Now, 3 weeks later, you're talking about, are they even going to win the division? So, you know, definitely a lot has changed. And, of course, now there's no room for errors. And if the Steelers team want to get to where they're going to get to, they've lost their last game of the year. Maybe can afford to lose one more and finish out 2-1 during this stretch. But, you know, this team, you know, they were prime to be ready to go, but unfortunately, the way that the circumstances unfolded, you know, they put themselves in this clutter, and it's a lot of clutter. You just hope that they win the division to at least assure themselves a shot at the playoff. They don't want to get into the wild card mess down there. It's crazy.
Would they contemplate maybe moving on for Mike Tomlin if they don't make the postseason this year?
No, absolutely not. There's no way. I mean, of course, you know, there's clutter, and people are talking about that outside the world, but 12 years, no losing seasons up until this point. And if this is the first losing season that he has, I really don't think that they make a change. That's not the Rooney's MO. That's not the way that they move and operate. So I would be shocked if the Rooney family moved on from Mike Tomlin.
And only three coaches since 1969 in the Steelers organization. So we know changes don't usually happen. I'm with you. But then you start to wonder, how do they explain the season that they would have if they don't make the postseason? Because fans would expect someone to get, you know, a large majority of the blame, or there to be some type of guy that ends up losing his job because of it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I agree when it comes to that. I think the one thing that I see is, you know, you just have to look at the history of the Rooney family. And I think when you look at the history of it, remember before Bill Cowher won his Super Bowl, there was that stretch at year, you know, 8, 9, 10, right around there that they struggled a little bit. So, you know, they stuck with him. And of course, at that point, after that 3-year stretch of losing, not making a playoff, they finally made it to the AFC Championship game two of 2001. And then Bill Cowher was able to hoist that Lombardi Trophy in Super Bowl in 2005 in Super Bowl 40. So that's why I said that's not the Rooney family's MO to make any rational decisions like that.
I know they're proud of what James Conner has been able to do this year, but do you think maybe they blame it on the Le'Veon Bell situation and just how much weight that did carry on players' shoulders and how much of a cloud that did hang over the organization, not really knowing what was going to happen there?
Yeah, I think they just went off of history, and I think, you know, based off what happened last year, he showed up in week one. They were prepared for that, but I don't think they were prepared if he didn't show up. And I'm sure he probably threw some hints out there to say, I'm not going to show up, but he could, you know, the Steelers at that point, call your bluff. And they called his bluff, and he didn't show up. And unfortunately, you know, you know what James Conner is capable of bringing to the table, but you were just unsure what a young guy like Jalen Samuels from NC State. He never really toted the ball at NC State. He would play four different positions there. You knew he was a pass catcher, but you didn't know if he could run the football. And, of course, they had the veteran guy, Stephen Ridley, who'd been around in this league. He can run the football. But they're not Le'Veon Bell and James Conner 1-2 combination. They just didn't have something to fall back on. And, unfortunately, it's coming to bite them in the butt right now just because of the injury to James Conner.
Talking to Charlie Batch right now, Zach Gilbin for Bill Reiter on CBS Sports Radio. Do you expect Conner to play this weekend up against the Pats?
I don't know. I think they're going to leave the light on for him all the way up till game time. And I think he has enough experience at this point to where if he goes until Sunday morning and has a really good pregame warm-up, I think Mike Tomlin will allow him to do that. But it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds over the next 48 hours and, you know, that decision. For a game time decision for James Conner, probably won't come until Friday after practice.
And then what type of Ben do you think we see on Sunday?
Ooh, this is going to be a tricky one. I mean, I played with broken ribs before. It's not a pleasant injury at all. It's going to be more of the pain tolerance. Of course, with, you know, the pain medication is going to kick in at some point. But if he has to stay upright. And if you're the Patriots, your job is to get to him and try to just maybe tackle him, force him to push himself off the ground. And as you get closer to halftime, maybe that pain medication wears off, but it's going to be one of those injuries that are going to linger throughout the entire time, however long this team stays into the playoff race.
Now, we know historically the Patriots have fared very well up against the Steelers. Steelers haven't got a victory up against the Pats since 2011. Patriots not as dominant as they've been in years past, but still in play for a first-round bye. How do you view the Pats going into this one?
Man, it's just unbelievable how they were able to retool every single week. And, of course, you know, the Dolphins always played them tough, and of course they didn't come out of that one for a victory. But now here you are heading kind of Pittsburgh. It's something that's where it's not foreign territory for Tom Brady. He had a lot of success here, and like you mentioned in that 2011 game where they lost, and the success for the Steelers in that game was able to get to Tom Brady, only bringing four, playing two man behind it, and they were able to rattle and make it frustrating for Tom Brady there. So I think if they have to continue that same formula. But I just don't know how they do it right now because defensively they're struggling. But they are a different team when they play home versus being on the road. They give up 31 points on the road, and then when they're home, they only give up 16. So let's see if they can continue that same formula.
Win or loss, the great thing about a Belichick team after all these years is they ignore the noise, and they've had some controversies as well, but they're able to block out that noise. From a player's, though, perspective, after having a loss like that, on Sunday against the Dolphins, where you lose on the final play, and not only lose, but just what a bizarre and crazy way to lose the game. How long does it take to move on from that? And could there be maybe some lingering effects from the game on Sunday up until a week later into this game coming up?
Well, I'm sure for them, I'm sure they're hoping that it only takes 6 days to get ready for the Steelers here. So I'm just not sure. You know, it's hard for me to say, you know, because they played on the road, they had to travel back, but they got back a little earlier than what the Steelers did. So I think when you look at where they're at, you know, Bill Belichick has a lot of success and has had a lot of success against the Steelers. So I don't think they look at it from that perspective. I just think they just turn around and say, you want to know what? If he, you know, comes down to whoever has the ball last, they feel just as confident as what the Steelers do.
At Charlie Batch 16 on Twitter, wrapping up with the former Steelers quarterback. Staying in this AFC North, which we've talked obviously a lot about the Steelers, just the young quarterback play of Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, what have you been able to witness from them so far? Because they've really brought both their teams a new sense of life and energy.
Yeah, they did. And, of course, each situation is different, where you knew at some point Baker Mayfield was going to go into that game because not many people expected a lot from him or that Cleveland team. But he's playing phenomenal right now since Hugh Jackson left, so it's good to see him have that success. But I think when you look at Lamar Jackson, it's a tricky situation because, you know, here's a guy, yes, he was a first-round pick. They had the established guy with Joe Flacco there. Is he ready to now throw from the pocket? We know he can run the football. We know he can do a lot of those things, but can he sit back and throw the football, which he has yet to prove? When you're a running quarterback, this is the part where John Harbaugh is really going to have, he's hoping that maybe this doesn't happen. Typically, our injury occurs and you have to go back to the incumbent starter. What is that situation going to look like if they have to turn the keys back over to Joe Flacco? That's going to be something that I would pay attention to.
And another one that just popped into my mind, we see all the speculation year after year about Marvin Lewis and his job status with the Bengals. What did you think about the potential rumor that Hugh Jackson could possibly take over and maybe Marvin Lewis gets promoted up to the front office situation?
Yeah, I'm not really sure about that situation. I haven't followed that situation as much, but I just think whenever, you know, if a change occurs in Cincinnati, I think they clean house. I don't think they promote from within. I think they find somebody else and try to hopefully change that culture and hopefully get them onto the winning track through the playoffs.
And one more for you, Charlie, that just popped into my mind. This is a year in the NFL where you have older quarterbacks dominating, like a Breeze, a Brady, Aaron Rodgers. I know his team's struggling, but he's always capable of having a really good performance. Then you see the guys that have been around for a while, like a Luck, a Cam Newton, and then a Matt Ryan. And you got all these youngsters in there, first or second or third year. You look at Mahomes and Carson Wentz. I know he has the injury. There's just so many names right now in the National Football League from a quarterback standpoint. You got to be loving this with some of the quarterbacks you get to watch each and every week.
I am, and I think this is the exciting part because you're starting to see the shifting of the guard. And, you know, who is that next wave of quarterbacks? Yes, you have a Baker Mayfield that's sitting there, but then you have those, you know, you just mentioned Andrew Luck, but also in that equation is Deshaun Watson.
This
is the guy who has that Houston team really loaded down there. And if he didn't get hurt last year, you never know what could occur down there from a young quarterback like that. So it's just exciting to see these young guys, and you see and you know, okay, once these guys start to kind of retire, the Bradys, the Breezes, you know this league is in good hands because they have a lot solid group of guys. And of course, when you talk about Patrick Mahomes, this is a guy, wow, to see him in his second year, first 4 years as a starter doing what he's doing, man, he is in the right place, right time. And of course, when you have a coach like Andy Reid, you know, he's going to get you going. Hopefully Andy can maybe possibly, you know, if my Steelers are knocked out, maybe this is the year that Andy Reid gets his first Super Bowl.
And that's the big question with the Chiefs, if Andy could get out of his own way, because we've seen him have a lot of postseason blunders over the years. Have you ever made a no-look pass, though? Has that ever happened? Because what Mahomes did last week, that was ridiculous.
I never did it in the game, but I did it in practice.
You just know, messing around?
You're like, it doesn't count, you know. So, but nothing to the effect of me rolling to the right, throwing to the left. I never did that. I was standing in the pocket, looking down the middle of the field, maybe throwing a go route to the right-hand side there as a no-look pass, looking off the safety. You know, those type of things occur. But that was special to be able to hit a receiver on target when you're rolling to the right, back to the left. That's not easy to do at all.
Charlie, always great to talk to you. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.